Cleaning Nation, it is time to have some fun, to soak up some wisdom, and to give you everything you need to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, if your life is just a little bit better as a member of Cleaning Nation, make sure you hook us up, show your love on iTunes with a 5-star rating, positive review. Of course, if you hate the show, just stop listening and wander off into the darkness. Anyway, if you get massive value, spread the love, share the show, share your friends. Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Today, we are chatting with Todd Haddock from I don't know why this is a hard one. It's just three letters. AHI Facility Services. AHI serves, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Arizona, Utah, Boston, Texas. They are all over the place, apparently. They've been in business since 1968. They do commercial cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Todd and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.ahifs.com. I'm assuming that's facility services. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So glad to have you, my friend. Just in the intro, I've got a bunch of questions in terms of, did you start this thing in 1968 or did you take over sometime along the way?
No, Billy Hawes started it in 1968 and then his daughter, Tracy Hawes, took it over in 91. Then I've been working for her since 2007.
Okay, cool. So you're part of the team. Are you the general manager or what's your position?
The president of AHI.
Okay, cool. And you've been there since what year?
2007.
Okay, cool. So you are not new to the cleaning game or this company. Were you in the cleaning business before, or was this a turn for you in 2007?
No, it was a turn for me. I was in the battery business with Interstate Batteries for 23 years prior to this.
And how did you get hooked up with the company you're with now, with AHI?
It was through a consulting friend of ours, a mutual friend.
Awesome. All right, cool. Well, before we jump into the good stuff, tell us a little bit about you, my friend. Are you married? You got kids? What do you do for fun? Let everyone know the inside scoop on Todd.
Absolutely. Not married. Got two boys, though. One's at Oklahoma University, and one's a senior in high school here in Dallas, Texas. I'm a big avid hunter, fisherman, and just do a lot of boating.
Beautiful. That's there's a lot worse way to spend time for sure. So where are you guys based out of? I mentioned a lot of states. Hopefully I didn't get any wrong or leave any out. Where are y'all based out of?
We're based out of Dallas, Texas, and we focus Oklahoma, Arkansas, of course, Texas. Then we have some accounts, California, Boston, Utah, Arizona.
And when you got to the company, were you national like that, or is that a transition that happened since you got there?
No, we've transitioned into other states and actually other lines. We do a lot of window washing. We also have a landscape division as well.
Okay, so for you to be that kind of regional thing, it made more sense to offer more services to the same company as opposed to just the interior janitorial stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Everything in a building except HVAC and plumbing.
Wow. Okay. So you guys
we'll work on.
So you'll do light paint, light bulb changing, all that good stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
Fantastic. I'm sold. All right, man. Well, hey, I appreciate the background and kind of giving us a little bit of an introduction into your world. How can I help you today?
Yeah, I guess some of the things that, you know, we're struggling with is kind of retaining, you know, top-tier cleaners in some of the metropolitan areas. It just seems like the workforce, trying to, you know, get, you know, the workforce, get more people hired as we start new contracts is becoming a bigger struggle.
Okay, cool. What have you guys tried so far to accommodate that? Just so I don't run over anything you've been before, and how's that worked out?
Yeah, I mean we've used Indeed. We run a lot of ads in different magazines and newspaper and job boards. We go to a lot of job fairs. We work with a lot of the colleges and schools to try to get part-time workers, people that need to work at night and things like that.
Okay. Cool. Well, a lot of those are the usual suspects. I like that you're working with colleges. I think that's pretty forward thinking. I don't know that a lot of folks do that. Let's talk about I get this a lot on the advertising side in terms of, should I be in Facebook ads? Should I be in direct mail? Should I be, fill in the blank with whatever, nonsense the new ad guy's selling. And I always thought that was a bad question or a limiting question that's going to get you the wrong answer. Same thing with, not that you asked this, but I'm just so people aren't wondering, why doesn't he talk about if I should use Indeed or Craigslist or like kind of specific media? The reason is, really, it's a philosophy in terms of what is it we're offering and what messaging, what product can we offer our prospective customers or employees that is going to be compelling to the right person and repelling to the wrong person. And once we get that methodology and that verbiage and that message down, it's a lot easier. You know, you can put a crappy ad in Indeed and have bad luck and a great ad in Craigslist and have better luck. And I'm not a fan of Craigslist. So that said, let's spend the bulk of our time kind of on what it is you're offering and how we can communicate that. Does that sound fair?
Sure, absolutely.
Cool. So the first and foremost thing, and I'm not implying that you make this message, but I know that there are people out there in Cleaning Nation that do, is they think it's all about the money. Well, that guy pays $10.50, I got to pay $11. They pay $11, I got to pay $12. Whatever the case may be, it's about money. And again, same thing happens on the customer side. They think it's price. The lowest price is going to get it. And I'm guessing, Todd, at the size of your company, as you know, that you probably more than half of the contracts you have are you are not the lowest bidder. But on the employee side, I want to give you that same encouragement. It's not, well, I got to pay $12 because they're paying $11 or whatever the metrics may be, and depending on what part of the state you're in. What it is about is what you're offering. A lot of times we see these employees, certainly if we've got the turnover as a commodity in terms of, you know, gosh, if this guy's here for 3 weeks, then I'll learn his name. But until then, you know, if he doesn't come in, I'll just get another warm body right behind him. And it's kind of this churn and burn. That's not great, but the unintended consequence of this, or the unseen reality that a lot of us don't get, is they see us as a commodity as well. They look at us as just another crappy $10 an hour job or just another part-time job. And the problem with that is when they, you know, have too much to drink on a Sunday night and they're supposed to work Monday, or you know, some of our people have too much to drink on a Monday afternoon and they're supposed to work Monday evening. Forget it. You know, you're just a commodity. I'll just go get another crappy $10 an hour job tomorrow. So we've got to change that kind of paradigm of you give me an hour of your time, I give you 10 American dollars or whatever the case may be, to I've got an opportunity and a community and something that you'd like to be a part of. And part of that, of course, is supplemental income. But if you look at kind of these network marketing folks, which is, I love studying them because what they're offering the customers tough. It's like, hey, do a ton of work, sell your friends and family, do really uncomfortable things, and 98% of you aren't going to make any money. Not that there's an opportunity, but the vast majority don't. And yet they're constantly recruiting new people. The way that they do it is they get that the money's part of it, but that's not the whole thing. It's a lot about a community and a culture, and come to our events and we've got these big, you know, galas every year to give awards to people and recognize them and make a big fuss. And we in the cleaning industry could absolutely take a note or a key from that. Are you with me so far, Todd, or am I just absolutely off on the deep end?
Yeah.
Okay. So
that makes sense.
First and foremost, we've got to sell them the opportunity to be a part of a community and a culture. Certainly part of that deal is that you give me time and I give you money, but it's got to go far beyond that if we're ever going to keep them. Because again, even if you could pay $15 an hour, which unless you're in LA or New York, that's obscene, maybe Boston, that's obscene wages. It's still not going to make a difference because you're not filling what they really want. So a couple ways to do that is core values, right? Apple, I use this example over and over because they're so clear about their core values of we're cutting edge, we're slick, we're sleek, we're cool. And people want to be a part of that. They'll drive by 19 Best Buys and $1,459 laptops to pay $1,500 at Apple because they want to be identified as part of this community. Apple has no trouble hiring because they built this. Their core values are so loud and the people that resonate with them just naturally show up. So we want to make sure first and foremost, we're clear on our core values because we certainly can't be clear in our advertising for customers or employees on what our core values are unless we know them. I always use mine just because it would take me too long to memorize yours and comment, Todd. But for the last 10 years, I've had to have fun, make money, be real, and help out. So guess what? The people that were super professional and thought having fun at work was stupid, they never would even show up on an ad because we wrote the ad in such a way they would be repelled. So I never even had to weed them out. They weeded themselves out. People that weren't into helping out or teamwork or just want to do their own thing and were selfish, they felt really uncomfortable really early on in the hiring process. Even better, if they did somehow sneak through, the community would kind of expel them because they'd feel, I'm not like these people. I feel weird and these people make me clear, and they just kind of wander off into the sunset. The better piece of it is the people that do resonate with my core values in terms of, man, I do think having fun at work is real, is a good deal. And being real and not have to put on a mask and act like my professional self. I could just be the same me with my family, with my work, with whatever, and making money. And someone actually cares that I make money and the company makes money. I didn't think that kind of a place existed. I only thought there was a place I could trade dollars for hours and I'm sick of it. But if I could get this, oh my gosh, I'm in. again, I feel like I'm going a mile a minute. Any questions, thoughts, or input? I know sure. You've done this a long time. What are your thoughts so far, Todd?
No, I like it. It's putting more value towards the employee is what you're really saying, and making them feel more part of it and excited to be at work.
Yes, and not just telling them to be excited, but to create an exciting environment, right? When you go to Disneyland, there's not one single sign that says, be happy, damn it. You know, it's just a lot of an environment where they set it up where you can have a lot of fun and make memories with your family, and every little detail does that. So I'll give you a couple of just ways to do that. First of all, and I don't know where you stand on the spectrum, but I get a lot of the question oftentimes in my private coaching is, do we hire for skill and train for attitude, or hire for attitude and train for skill? Do we need both? I'm a huge fan, certainly in the cleaning business, right? If I'm hiring a neurosurgeon, I absolutely want him to kind of have the same beliefs as I do in terms of what happens after I die and things like that. But I dang well want to make sure that he's a very, very good neurosurgeon, right? That's not something you just pick up in a weekend. We are not hiring neurosurgeons. We're hiring cleaners, right? So you can take any able-bodied human being that's never cleaned a blessed thing in their entire life, and 2-3 days later, depending on how intense you want to be, they can be fully functional cleaning. So I always talk about, you know, people like must have cleaning experience. I couldn't care less. You know, I'm okay with saying, hey, I need a work ethic. Hey, I need you to demonstrate that you really, money's important enough for you that you're actually going to value this. I need you to demonstrate you're going to be a good part of the team. But I really would encourage you and Cleaning Nation to focus on the attitude and a core value match, and not really worry about skills. So that's the first and foremost thing. The last thing you want to do is find an amazing cleaner that works really hard, but they just don't believe what you believe. They think, I'll come, I'll show up every day, I'll clean better than everybody else, your customers will love me, but I don't believe in teamwork. I don't believe in help out, right? I'm never going to help anyone out. I'm going to do exactly what I'm paid to do. That at some point is going to blow up in your face. I will take the other person that's never cleaned a day in my life, in his or her life. Maybe they're a little slower than some of the more experienced people, but by golly, are they an amazing community member, and everyone wants to be a part of them, and they absolutely demonstrate what we're trying to communicate. So long story short, try to write ads and create an interview process that only allows people that are core value match in. That is so much easier than trying to find someone that doesn't have the same core values and beat it into them and try and make them submissive to your core values. It will never work, and it'll always end in heartache. Any more thoughts? I've got one more thing, and then we'll hit the lightning round, unless you've got any feedback so far.
No, that's good information.
Okay. Last thing, and for people who are going, great, that's all very philosophical, but let's talk tactical. How do I actually implement this into my business? First and foremost, rewrite your hiring ad. Everybody says the same stupid generic thing. Need valid driver's license. Looking for opportunity? Good pay. Easy hours. We will train you. Opportunity to advance. There's 1,000 ads on Indeed. And my apologies, Todd, if you're like, son of a gun, that's exactly my ad. There's 1,000 ads like that. It's very, very difficult. Say things like, tired of not feeling loved at work? Want something different? If you are, have a valid driver's license, not afraid of hard work, want to help out, don't, are honest as the day is long. We need to talk. Call right now, part-time opportunity, clear call to action. Something different that sets you apart. And immediately people go, I'm into this vibe. I need to be a part of this. Or immediately go, pass, pass, and pass. So that's the first thing. Rewrite your ad to be different and reflect you, not to be the same vanilla ad. Second thing is, in the interview process, have a clear process. And Todd's probably got this going on because they're large enough, but I'm a big fan of first, they get a 5-minute interview on the phone, which is kind of the basics. You know, do you have a, can you pass a drug test? Are you illegal to work here? Do you have a driver's, you know, just the basic thing that you can easily disqualify everybody. The people that make it through there, they go to a group interview. We can't get into the whys and hows about that in the time that we've got, but you hit them with a group interview. The people that get through that, they go through a one-on-one interview. The people that go through that, they go through their final interview, which is actually demonstrating cleaning, and then they get hired. You don't have to have that exact system, but you need a system in place. And at each step of the system, you should be looking for a core values match in every way that you possibly can. Last thing, because you talked about how to keep them, not how to get them. And it's so much easier to keep them if you get the right person. You get the wrong person, it's an uphill battle. So the last piece in terms of how to keep them, A, I'm assuming you now hired the right person that is a core value match and believes what you believe. Once you do that, the coolest thing, the most powerful tool that you've got in your arsenal costs you $0. And that is awards, recognition, and making them feel special. You can do that simply by literally, as I don't know how many people you've got under you, Todd, but on the way home, just calling 5 every night and going, hey, Jennifer, I just noticed you've been here a couple months. We haven't got to talk lately, but I really appreciate the work that you do. And it just makes me happy that you're part of this team. I just want to call and say thank you. That's it. literally a 1 minute conversation. Mm-hmm. 2/3 of the people you're going to call, you're going to get their voicemail. You leave that exact or some version of that voicemail. The third that you get to talk to, you spend 5 minutes on the phone with them. You make their whole damn day. I've seen, pardon my French, I've given awards to folks and seen them, you know, for whatever reason, been in their house or seen a picture of their house, and that award is proudly displayed years later. It costs nothing to recognize, award, have monthly parties, build a community, have them bring friends and family, and have a good time and give everybody an award. I mean, we gave some really politically incorrect, like, you know, best looking wife, ugliest car, person most likely to stink up the bathroom, and we like ridiculous awards, and we'd have vendors and customers come, we give them awards, and it was just ridiculous. At the parties, we'd have management being a dunk tank, and the employees could, and we'd taunt them, and the employees would dunk us. We'd have foosball tournaments and basketball tournaments, and it was a blast. And everybody, and the cool thing is, it started with just the employees, but then everybody wanted to be a part. And what happens is they bring their friends, who are, you know, as you probably know, Todd, your best next employee is probably very close with your current best employee, and they'd also bring vendors wanted to be a part, and then vendors would bring prospective customers, and it was this huge community that everybody wanted to be a part of. And again, same thing works on the selling side. You know, hey, I'm $2,800 a month to maintain your facility, but they kind of know I'm going to be part of this community. I get to come to these parties, and I really just want to be a part of that vibe. So I've gone on and on. We are going to transition. Any questions or comments before we hit the lightning round, my friend?
No, I appreciate the feedback.
Hey, hopefully we'll, if not help you, help some Cleaning Nation folks. All right, enough of me. Let's give Todd the opportunity to share some of his 10 years of experience in the cleaning industry. Three quick questions. Todd is going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received in or out of the cleaning business?
Probably best piece of advice was, learning, not only learning the industry, but learning the people that work in this industry and being a part of them. And getting in the trenches and actually working side by side with them.
Cool. And that's a great point and probably something we've touched on here. Question number two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in your time in the cleaning industry that we can all learn from and maybe save some steps?
Probably trying to expand into other states too fast. Instead of focusing on, you know, one new area or one city or one state, trying to grow too fast in other states.
Okay, so it wasn't that you tried to, that you moved into other states. It was maybe that you tried to do multiple new states at a time. You would have rather just, so you're cool with the expansion, just kind of do it, hit one city, once that's stable, then go to another, and maybe you try two or three at a time, and you wouldn't recommend that. Did I catch it or no?
Right.
Cool. Okay, just, it was such a good point.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend doing that again.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I knew exactly what you were and weren't saying, so everyone got it. Last question, what's one idea immediately implementable, something that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right now, as soon as the podcast ends, that can change their business or their lives for the better?
You know, I would say just remember that if you have the relationship with customers in that building, there's a lot of extra sales and opportunities within that building to diversify out and do more in that building than just cleaning it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And again, be careful. Just like Todd had mentioned, you don't want to go into six new areas at once. You want to go into one. I would probably, and you can tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth, Todd, but I'd say the same thing with, don't start with, all right, we're janitorial. Now we're going to do carpet cleaning, windows, power washing, you know, pest control, light changing, maybe kind of roll out one at a time. Is that fair? Or am I twisting your words?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, that's it. That's
cool.
It.
Good feedback, Todd. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your experience and everything that you bring. Hopefully we brought you some value. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Todd's show notes page and get everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.